Welcome to another chat on Awakenings. Today we're speaking about chapter 4, titled Broken. So it starts on, this is the first sentence, looking at how it got to the point of Jackson not seeing his kids for a year and having supervised visits should be a great lesson for anyone reading on. He made more than his fair share of mistakes, as many of us have, to the point of losing everything. All the things most of us use to define the success he lost. The more he altered his choices through fear of losing certain benchmarks led him to lose them anyway. What made things far worse, what hurt Jackson the most during his downward spiral, was that he lost his integrity, his truth, his heart. The bottom line is, this is all you can ever truly have. The rest is hollow, fleeting. Given all the things on this earth, heart and honesty within is by far the most important to us. It's got a line here. This is all in the first paragraph. It has, given all the things on this earth, heart and honesty within is by far the most important to us. The beautiful thing is, when these aspects line up, so does everything else, which means that when you follow your heart and integrity and you're honest with yourself, life becomes synchronistic. It lines up. You get insight into things. You find or feel that you're in the right place at the right time. There's opportunities within certain aspects of life or many aspects of life. And even if times are tough, you can see possibilities or a way through. Often this is when you trust your gut and your heart and your integrity. So as opposed to not trusting and doubting yourself, nothing feels like it lines up and you feel like you're a victim. So in one aspect, you feel like you're the victim of circumstance and there's no way forward. And when you're learning to trust and getting in touch with your intuition and your heart space, then you see an opportunity even when there's tough times ahead. So one gives you faith, the other one gives you the opposite to that. So one gives fear. So it says, regardless of this fact, life will loosen your grip on what we think we know and what we think is real over time, which means everything comes out ultimately. And it's amazing how often we repeat mantras in our head and those mantras mislead us. It's actually nurtures or harbors resentment or pain or suffering. So we must be willing to change our mantra into something more positive, something more optimistic. This is, I think, the biggest chapter in the book, and it's full on. Like, it goes into experiences that Jackson went through, massive challenges. It just keeps going on and on, basically. Like, just when you think he's getting out of something, something else happens. And there's about 16 pages. To be honest, the hardest part of the book for me to write was this, in a sense that it was dramatic, a lot of drama, a lot of suffering. But the most exciting part, what I enjoyed most, was how to work through it, how to see through it, and the insights from going through turmoil. Chapter 4 draws you in. It takes you through hell, ultimately. It shows what can happen and what people can endure. Chapter 4 talks about a partner he'd met, Annie, and about how subtly things change and he felt compromised, and every fortnight he had his children, they'd be pretty clingy. And with his partner, she would become jealous of the connection with his children. That brought up past issues and things she hadn't worked through regarding her child, because she had a child as well who never saw her father. So this obviously would, as anyone would understand, it would bring up stuff, because they're seeing two children clingy with a father and vying for his attention. And then you have your own child that never really had a father. So understandably, it's going to bring up stuff. But then ultimately, Jackson felt compromised because he was well aware that it was bringing up issues within the relationship, his relationship with Annie and her daughter. So therefore, he began to feel compromised with his children, that the more clingy they were with him, the more it brought up issues for his partner and her daughter. This is a tough one, because in that situation, you have to understand the other partner and her daughter, but it's really hard because Jackson felt compromised and couldn't connect so well with his children, because the stronger they connected, the more turmoil there was when his kids went back to their mum. So what do you do? I'd suggest, and that's, I'm not a psych, rather than compromise the relationship with your children for the sake of, you know, a partner or someone within a family dynamic that's triggered by that connection. If I was in that situation, I would say, well, okay, when the kids come over, we can spend some time together, but you're not going to be here all weekend because I want to connect with my children. And I feel that's healthier. And rather than compromise and feel compromised on both sides of the equation. It's like, okay, we can do some things together as a family unit, but there's certain time periods where you can't be here. And one might think, well, that's not fair on any. But I truly feel like within any relationships where you have children outside of both parents, I truly believe that children should always come first, always. So if a parent feels compromised or is jealous to any degree of other children, of their partner's children because of the attention, then there's something wrong here. And I feel that if you have a partner like that, the partner should give you distance to allow you to connect with your children and let them, your children, express freely when they're in your presence without feeling that you have eyes staring at them or judging them or on some level competing for attention, vying for attention. So if I was in that situation now, and whether they like it or not, it's just bad luck in a way. And that sounds harsh, but it's like, well, no, my children need to know that I love them, that they're free to express and that we can connect without being judged.
I think it's a good thing. It would be a good thing for the relationship too, I think, because if your partner's not constantly being triggered, they can be at peace for that period of time because it's not in their face. So it may actually be beneficial for the relationship for them to not be put in a situation where they're constantly triggered as well.
I agree. And I think it's better than them being triggered there. But if one is at that place where they're triggered when in the presence of children that love the parent, then I agree. I think that's the safest way and it can be easier, but there's also a trap that in the state of mind of the parent that's being triggered.
Yeah, of course.
When if they use their imagination or they're fearing, then that can trigger them anyway. But it still will be less triggering than if they're seeing it for themselves. And irrespective, they need to seek some help on some level to be able to deal with that because it comes down to self-worth completely. It really does. And it makes it a lot harder too if you have a child that is also triggered by seeing the children with a father, if they haven't had a father. So you nurture both all the children and you would just do something special with the children or with your child while the father has time with his children. And then you have to slowly make a transition so then you can ultimately do things with both children and the father and the mother, which is obviously the mother and father have different children. So do things together slowly, slowly where they're in a safe environment. And fun and love can be facilitated with having minimal triggers in the vicinity. But I would always protect the children first. But Jackson felt compromised and didn't know what to do. And so many things were falling down around him. He was losing his business. He was going through family court. So he didn't know the way forward. Like he stopped trusting his intuition. He became fearful. So it's a tough one. Because the more that happens, the more that crumbles around you, the more you try and get a sense of security. And I was talking to a great guy at the gym yesterday, and he said, I've been going through a lot of different things been coming up for him. And he said he just needs to find a place of security and like within. And I said, oh, what is that place? Where is it? What needs to happen for you to feel that security within? He went, oh. I said, so that's an idea in your head that when you ask the voices in your head, so to speak, that question, what is that? What's it look like? How is that? There is no answer. So it's like, so you feel that, I guess in some ways, well, you're not being challenged, but being challenged isn't a bad thing. When you feel you know yourself and you're secure and you're not being challenged, you might feel safe on some level, but depending on what you're seeking, it's almost like feeling settled or unchallenged. Or just feeling like this is how things are. It's like the humdrum life. It can be that, perceived as that. But yeah, feeling comfortable. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking when I was young, I used to think, oh, I'll never be settled. I don't want to settle. But my understanding of being settled is far different now. It's like, well, it's feeling secure within or peaceful within. Secure is peaceful, ultimately. And at peace within is being settled. It's not settling for something. Mm-hmm. It's accepting how you are, that's being settled. It's being comfortable within your skin, not feeling guilty. It's about feeling peaceful. So settled is a vast, huge understatement in my books. So, and I just think it is a negative thing and just settling for something substandard, but it's not that at all in my books. So the left might tell me something different. Now, settling, being settled means this. And if you disagree, you're a racist. Their interpretations are everything. If you disagree, then you're wrong, because your interpretation, there's only one interpretation, and that's theirs. Yeah. Anyway, I'm making fun of it here and there. I'd rather laugh at it than fall victim to it.
Exactly.
So within the dynamic with Jackson in his story, Annie attacked him physically, mentally, and emotionally. There are times where Annie's daughter would scream at Jackson saying, "Don't hurt my mum." And Jackson never couldn't work out why, because he never struck out and never hurt his mum, even when she hit him at times and scratched him and their altercations. It's a pretty full-on story. It's a full-on read. You just don't realise. And who would imagine that a woman would hit a guy?
Yeah.
It's unheard of. Obviously, no one really covers that because it's not what they like to portray. And it's rare as it is, obviously, it happens.
Of course.
But no one really, a guy can cop it, so it's not really a big deal. Well, he still does emotional damage. It does far more damage than the physical. Jackson realised after a while that the reason Annie's daughter would say, "Don't hurt my mum," is because she was waiting for Jackson to snap. She was waiting for her mum to push Jackson over the edge where he'd strike back.
Yeah.
But it was ridiculing for Jackson to cop physical abuse, and it's ridiculing. And then for the daughter to scream at him, "Don't hurt my mum," when he did nothing, it was degrading for him. And he felt like during those times, he felt like the victim, but at times he was screamed at as if he was a perpetrator. And that was further diminishing for Jackson. Such an intense journey, because it's not a story. It is what actually happened and then some. Well, this is the tip of the iceberg. So much more could have been. It could have been a whole book about the dramas, but it was more of the reason it goes into the dramas is because it gives credibility and an understanding that despite the dramas and everything you can go through, there's light at the end of the tunnel if you don't give in and you seek answers. So, yeah, he was given ultimatums by Annie on a number of occasions that if he didn't do this, then she'd take that, or if he didn't commit to her, if they didn't get engaged, she'd destroy his business. And she was that embedded into everything he had. That, and it's hard to imagine to be that embedded in. And before you know it, it's like the rot sets in. So then you feel compromised in every decision, every road going forward, you feel compromised. So on top of this, the ultimatums, the abuse, the turmoil in his life, being compromised with his children, his work came under fire. The unions went after him and he was trying to get his head around it. And it seemed that, well, what happened was there was a number of accounts with a construction company in Perth that wasn't reconciled. Basically, it appears that one of his managers coordinated with the union and demanded a large sum of money. They did seek a large sum of money, that's for sure, but how come to that point is it's not set in stone how this actually came about. Jackson could only assume. But the only people that had access to his files, one of those persons was a manager. And it just so happened that the union was seeking the exact amount that was unreconciled within their accounts. And the unions pulled him in the office, threatened to shut down Jackson's business and demanded over $500,000 by the following morning. Actually, it was $700,000 by the next morning, or they closed Jackson's business. So it goes into this story as well. And there was not that much money within the company. It was unreconciled because there were so many jobs with this company that there was an issue within some of the invoices, because they had multiple jobs going on and then they were holding back certain payments and it got messy. So with all these dramas within the reception and the inner workings of the company, the accountant did a lot of work within the company and he actually deleted my op, which is, I hear, it's very, very hard to do. He was working in the office. And then he said to Jackson, he said, "Whoops, I accidentally deleted my op," which apparently he can't do that. Like it's not that easy. And he said, "It's okay, I'll take it home over the weekend and put it all back together." So there's so many things that went on. So amongst, this is all within 3 months, within the abuse, within the mob, there was issues. He's being attacked multiple fronts with his business, the union, his accountant, and he was going through family court. It was just horrendous. And then he was told on top of this that if he couldn't reconcile his accounts because it was all wiped, mob was wiped, and all the reconciliation had to be done. And at that point, they realized that his accountant had, he was going through court and ended up getting 8 years jail. There was $800,000 that's unreconciled since mob had been wiped. They said to Jackson, if he didn't reconcile, if he couldn't reconcile it, then he could go to jail and they'd suspect him as taking off with the money. But luckily, the bank statements, he had a copy of all the bank statements. It was not likely you have to buy a lawyer anyway, so he could reconcile everything. So as it turned out, he didn't take it. His accountant did. So such a dramatic story. Further on in chapter 4, he talks about some of the conflict and some of the issues and the turmoil he was faced with his children, some of the circumstances that broke him down. It talks about some of the court hearings and what was discussed. And it's amazing how you think, oh, yeah, wow, that's huge. And you think something's about to turn the corner and then something else gets thrown at Jackson. He was being guided ultimately by his lawyers. He had to jump through every hoop, and every hoop he jumped through didn't free him. It actually jumped through a hoop into another pit, another snake pit, it seemed. It is amazing. And I dare say people have taken their lives for less than what he went through. So Jackson was ultimately in a very bad place, losing everything, being threatened, being attacked from all fronts, work, family, current relationship, being abused physically, emotionally, mentally. And what intensified this whole journey is that before all this happened, he had a successful business. Things were going pretty well. On some level, he thought he'd made it. He's become successful to some degree. He didn't have any financial worries. And then he went from feeling like you've succeeded, you've done well, after going through turmoil when you're a few years prior to that and not seeing your children so much, going through breakup within family, and then investing all your time into your business and then succeeding within the business, only to have that crumble around you when you thought you've made it to some degree. It was amazing. What an amazing journey. It's understandable how when you go through so much turmoil and all the walls are crumbling down around you, you become afraid. You're losing everything. You try and salvage what you can, but the more you try and salvage, the more you lose. This is why I always say about following your intuition, your heart, your integrity. Because when you don't, fear guides you. And this is the trouble with the world today. Fear is guiding everyone, or too many people, let's put it that way. So they're making choices that they wouldn't necessarily make. And the mass hypnosis of twisting information. Now, they keep going on about COVID, how dangerous it is and the cases and everything. But if people aren't dying of COVID directly, and the more people that catch it, the less lethal it is. It's as simple as that. But they don't talk about that. They just talk about the cases all the time, which breeds fear. I know from my own personal experience, Jackson went through it in his experience. When you're fearing, almost every decision you make through fear is wrong, is false. It will lead you into further destruction, further turmoil within yourself. So it's important. Great thing about this chapter, he went through a lot more than a lot of people do, in a sense, emotionally, on all levels. Like, people get attacked, and I'm not saying that people haven't had it worse than Jackson at all. By no means am I saying that. You're being attacked on all fronts and seemingly losing on all fronts. And basically, the spotlight was on Jackson. And it didn't matter what anyone else did. It didn't matter if someone else was abusive or if someone else was manipulating or harsh. It only mattered if Jackson was like that. Even through family court, if he reacted or lashed out, he'd be deemed unfit and an unfit father. Yet everyone else on the outside of the spotlight, they could say and do whatever they liked, and the court didn't care because they were only watching Jackson. And the hard thing for Jackson was that other people around him that the spotlight was not on, if he was saying or doing what they were doing, he'd be deemed unfit to see his children. And that was the crazy thing. It was, life felt so biased. He felt so geared against Jackson. And no one cared what anyone else was doing. It's like the wolves are at the door and they only focused on Jackson, even though there are other people around him, in a sense. That's how it felt emotionally. And that's actually how it was in what he went through. So it could have been a tragic tale. It really could have. And I think in most cases it would have. This is why I've written this, is to show that when you're surrounded and you have nothing left, you can find something amazing. It's just crazy. So towards the end of chapter four, Jackson, after questioning everything, a few things happened towards the end where, with Jackson, and when he was in family court, while being attacked, he was in and out of three different courts, family court and two other courts relating to his business. And to give a sense of how he felt attacked on all sides, and it felt like everything's doom and gloom. In Jackson's story, he wanted the children to go through an assessment. He wanted everyone to be assessed to make sure that the kids were okay and everyone was okay, because he was shut off from the children a lot. Where it came to communicating with his children were shut off to him to some degree. They were controlled by their mother. Ultimately, the courts ruled that they could all be assessed. And Jackson met this assessor and a clinical psychologist. And when Jackson went and saw the assessor, the assessor said, "How do you feel about being here?" And Jackson said, "Yeah, great. I feel really good because I've been wanting everyone to be assessed for over a year." And this assessor ultimately ruled against Jackson. It wasn't favorable, that's for sure. And so they had personality disorders and that he should be going through certain assessments and these sort of things. He seemed to take the side of the mother straight out, and the assessor asked about Jackson's wife, and Jackson felt that he couldn't go into the full detail of his wife because the assessor would think he's exaggerating. So he toned it down. He toned down what it was like. And the psych or assessor thought he was exaggerating anyway. Wow. So ruled against him. And then Jackson had to go through another assessment with the same guy a few months later. And during this period, there was a three-month window, and Jackson had some insight. So he'd been broken down. He went through a place where he felt like he was completely unmotivated. He felt squashed, and he started questioning himself a lot. He went through a patch where he blamed himself for everything. So instead of thinking nothing's my fault, he thought everything's my fault. And everyone's suffering is due to me. I'm not doing what I should be doing, and fell into a deep victim space and a deep depression. And then a trigger, he spoke to his daughter on the phone, and his daughter said, "Dad, can you call me on the weekend?" And Jackson said, "Yeah, no worries. Check with your mother, no problem, I'll call you anytime." And his mother snatched the phone off his daughter, said, "You've crossed the line," and hung up. And Jackson didn't get a chance to speak to his son. This was huge, and it might seem like a small thing, but something triggered and broke within Jackson, and he felt a fire within him. And I understand this. My sister had that fire, and I never did. So it's like if someone is passive-aggressive, to explain the lack of the fire that I had and that Jackson had, it's like if someone comes up and suddenly treads on your toe and then starts twisting their foot on your toe, hurting you. And their lack of self-worth. My sister would say, get your effing foot on my toe. You know, she'd react. I wouldn't. I didn't like conflict. Jackson was the same. So it's like you don't look at them in a way and you just sort of hope they take their foot off and you don't say anything because you don't want to offend them. So in a sense, you don't want them to judge you, yet they're already judging you, not liking you because they're hurting you. If people hurt me subtly or passive aggressively, I'd sort of look away and hope they'd stop. This has really changed within me over years. So this phone call, that looking away, that wall, that obstacle broke, and Jackson felt a fire within him that he hadn't felt before. And this led to profound change within Jackson. And everything started changing from here. This initiation, this start of this change, where I wouldn't say everything fully changed, but things began to change. It's like the old oak tree started germinating, had lain dormant in the soil for years through storm and snow and everything, and all of a sudden it broke through. This is prior to his second assessment with his psychologist. So he realized on some level that he didn't need to seek anyone's approval anymore, that all he had was his own approval of himself. The only thing that couldn't be stripped from him is his own intuition. And he met this psych and he was unconcerned about the evaluation. And this is within a system where they don't really believe that people change too much. There's a system designed that around offering medication and just helping people get by. They don't really, I'm not saying they can't, but within the system itself, and I've been told with people I've spoken to, that people like myself, whenever someone say this to me, people like myself don't exist, how I perceive things. And what I've gone through myself personally, I should be harboring resentment and anger and frustration and rage. And the fact that I don't,
if you don't,
it's not normal. Yeah. And I've had people say to me, oh, we can't, I've gone through my own, caught my own things and said, we can't, people have said they can't write how they see me because they'd almost lose their license or they'd be questioned. So the system within itself, there's certain, they're not interested in seeing everything. They're not interested in seeing anything different. In my experience, they're interested in this is the process, this is what it is, and they treat everyone the same, almost like sheep. Like you've got certain tendencies, you go in this box, they put everyone in boxes. And I don't like to, they'll take everyone out of boxes. There's similarities, but we're all unique and we can all break free from our own victim space and victimhood. We really can. That's what this book's about. So to give an idea, when Jackson met with his psych, he'd gone through profound change, absolute profound change. And this psych didn't understand it. This is clear because this is something I'm going to read you that was in the court, and this is point 14, written by this assessor. On the clinical reassessment, Jackson presented as very calm, philosophical, and reflective. In the circumstance of the case, I thought that it was an unnaturally normal presentation. It was not the sort of normal presentation of someone masking a clinical depression. Rather, it was more in keeping with someone who has disconnected from the emotion of the situation, which would be more on a personality dysfunction domain. So what he's saying is, because Jackson was unconcerned and presented normally, there was a mental dysfunction within his mind, because most people in that circumstance or that situation would be nervous and concerned about the assessment, and Jackson wasn't. So that was a bit of an anomaly that said, okay, well, he's not masking lying. There's something seriously wrong. No matter if something's right, yeah, he's seen through, he's broken through, he's got a deep understanding, something's changed. It's like, no, that doesn't happen within society which we live. So it was ruled that he had a personality disorder, basically. That's what that's really saying. And there were further things in court later on, and he had to go through the assessments and had a psychiatrist that was actually defending Jackson in the end. But this is part of the process that he went through. So a great thing to remind yourself of, you can go through profound change, doesn't mean anyone will see it, and people will still assess you and judge you. And to go through profound change doesn't matter what anyone thinks and feels. It all comes down to what you think and feel. That is it. And over a period of time, people that invest in you and know you will see you've changed. But those that are quick to judge will not see a change, because your change and your growth threatens their very foundation. And that's a fact. So don't expect those that judge you. They're not looking for answers. They're looking for blame.
I think also someone that doesn't understand, it just shows that they haven't reached that level of understanding themselves.
100%. And if you're judging, you're not seeking any understanding. You're seeking blame for all rejection. Yeah. And especially if one judge that's judging is suffering, then they're basically saying, it's your fault. I've no, it's not my fault I'm suffering. It's your fault I'm suffering because you're not doing this, you're not doing that, or whatever it is. Or my friend's suffering, and I think it's your fault that they're suffering because you obviously control what they think and feel. They're not saying that, but they're insinuating that, and that's impossible.
Yeah.
I cannot make anyone think and feel anything. I can encourage certain ways of thinking, but ultimately every person chooses what they think and feel and believe within.
Yeah.
And when you don't think you do, then people can truly influence you. And that's called giving your power away, because you're believing falsely that you have no capacity to change. It's as simple as that. And that is not true. You do have the capacity, and you must fight and learn how to do that, learn what that means. And this is everything that we're about. This is why we do what we do. So there were a few more dramas after that, and it goes into, like, even after that, there's some challenges that Jackson faced, because when you change, the challenges will keep coming, but it'll only help you grow if you take on the challenge. Chapter 5 is called Reflecting, the Key to Change. So it talks about the experiences that really changed, and the change of the perspectives and one's views. At the tail end of Chapter 4, it does ask a few questions on how long do you feel it would take for you to accept and process being slandered as much as you were. There's some more slandering. There's some other full-on things within the chapter. I've just sort of touched over a few key things, but there's more. Yeah, that's not the worst of it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It does ask you to reflect on what lessons would you have learned? How long would it take you to work through certain aspects of what Jackson went through? And a lot of people would possibly take lifetime to years or the whole life.
Yeah.
But Jackson was looking for answers. He was hungry. He had to find a way out to free himself. I get that 100%. I won't say the final page, but it talks about he started getting some, there were some other assessments that were supporting Jackson and his way. And this was, of course, contested by Jackson's wife.
Of course.
The reason I laugh is because Jackson's wife was not a psychological expert, or she wasn't a psychiatrist, psychologist. And his lawyers, Jackson's lawyers, allowed her to question these professionals that are seasoned evaluators. So she believed the ones that suited her narrative,
mm-hmm.
and the ones that didn't did far more assessments over a longer period, detailed assessments and evaluations that cleared Jackson. She challenged that. The psychologist that basically said he had a psychological problem said that no one can make a clear assessment of someone after two sittings. Yet he did. So he's saying no one can, but he can. He was a psychologist. He wasn't a psychiatrist. He was a psychologist. So he was the exception to the rule. So there's something wrong there anyway. No one can make clear assessments after two sessions, but I. Crazy. Anyway, but I have to make fun of that. When you are the exception to the rule, or I'm the exception, or anyone exception to the rule, you don't know the rules. And so in my view, I have a strong view on that. I'm not saying that someone can't make a clear assessment of someone after one or two sessions. I'm not saying someone can't. I think people are very intuitive. We can get a pretty good picture of someone sometimes within a couple of minutes. I'm not laughing at that statement that no one can make a clear assessment with two sessions. I'm laughing and making fun of the fact that he says that no one can but him. So we've all had similar experiences to Jackson to varying degrees. And some of the things that he went through, I went through something very similar. And some of the things I've processed very quickly. And just when you think you're coming out, you fall deeper into it. So it's
something. There's always something more.
Yeah, there is. It's amazing. And the beautiful thing is, you'll relate to certain things, and most people will certainly relate to is how unfair life can feel.
That's what makes you grow, though. I mean, I know people think, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have to go through this or that or whatever. But this is the stuff, the gritty stuff that makes you grow and develop and evolve.
And this was my journey, and it was Jackson's journey, and it's been so many people's journey.
Yeah.
So you're 100% right. So I really feel that it's the shackles or the walls that we feel protect us, actually limit us. You may feel walls stop people from seeing in, but it also stops you from seeing out. And the turmoil and the great challenges, it shakes your very foundation and therefore enables you to expand it and to broaden your horizons, your understanding of yourself, therefore others. On some level, I like rattling people's cage, and that's not by calling them names, pulling their hair, or fighting anyone. It's by questioning things, it's just offering something, a slightly different perspective, even just a little.
Yep.
Saying something slightly different. I enjoy this. This is obviously my passion. And so I like to say things that are a little bit off the cuff, so to speak, just to get people out of autopilot to some degree, because everyone goes through their motions not really being present. They're working, but they're not at work. They're working along the beach, but they're not at the beach. They're doing certain things. They're not present. And I like to say things that can steer people towards being present more and more reflective. More reflective you are, the closer to the present you become. You seek understanding, answers. You stop projecting. You get closer to the here and now, which is where true happiness and fulfillment is. So, yeah, I recommend you read my book and Lose Yourself in Chapter 4. There's a lot of despair there, but the book takes you by the hand and guides you out. A bit of self-reflecting, which is the key to unlocking all doors within yourself. That's a pretty full-on chapter, isn't it, really?
It is very full-on. But it's good. I mean, it just gives people an example of what is achievable from, you know, absolute misery.
Yeah, there's always hope, always. So next we've got coming up Chapter 5, Reflecting, the Key to Change. Hope you enjoyed this chat on Chapter 4 and look forward to the next one. Take care. Bye for now.